We shall all see ourselves and each other even in the clear, explanatory light which the past casts over the present, when we first learn to understand life and the divine direction of our destiny. Then we can much more pleased with the progress we make and also get better understanding of each other. I have to give a bullet right. That, which at first I almost took as an affront, as he faced strangers and covered my shameful crime, it was now found to have a completely opposite effect, because of all I met so much kindness and sympathy that I felt quite warm in the heart. It was in fact the most joyous feast I have ever experienced. Old memories and new experiences collated and I felt so happy that I could ever wish for. It was with regret I left this beautiful home and my new friends, and returned to my field of work in my own sphere, to which both duty and attraction called me, because I felt, in the long run, I would probably not be happy in this, for me, too bright a sphere. Chapter 8. A meeting and a visit to the cold jails. Yet another episode from that time I have to tell. On a longer trip in my own sphere, as I was elevated up there, partly as a recreation, partly to learn about a new contract, I one day met an elderly woman who was slightly bent, and supported by a rod. By her side followed a young woman with her head held high and she had radiant beautiful eyes. The elder was shrouded in a skimpy black dress, while the younger had a light, almost white robe, who let me assume that she belonged to a higher sphere. They stopped and asked me the way. When I gave the information I could, I lifted my hat and wanted to continue the path. Now, however, the old looked up and drilled a pair of hard eyes on me. "Who are you?" she asked. "I think I know you from somewhere." "I am one who has gone astray in the hatred and vengeance," I replied. "Yes, so we all have done, that go trudging around here, but let's just sit here by the roadside and speak a little." She pulled me up on a small hillside beside the road, where we sat all three. It was in her way to be, the kind of authority, which I asked myself, why? "Tell me," she continued, "were not you one of King Waldemar's men?" "Yes, but why do you ask?" "Then the mother's eye is sharper than her son. I thought I recognized you, as I have two times bore you by my heart." "Mother? Is it really my former mother?" "Yes. And here is your sister Thori from the time I was the strict and feared mother's sergeant. Do not you recognize her?" We gave each other a little hesitant hand. "I will tell you, my son, that I have had a very heavy and hard time here in this strange world and would probably have had still worse, unless Thori here, came and helped me. Now it have eased somewhat, but it is still so much that weighs. I have met with so much ingratitude both on earth and here, not the least from my own children. What have you been doing like searching for your old mother, for all the struggles I did for you?" "Yes, I am not talking about Thora, she's good, and she has come to see me. But you and your brother, have you ever spent a thought on me? Have you ever asked what had become of me?" "Never. I know, or I would have felt if you did. I have, in spite of all, been longing for you. That's the shed bitterness in my soul, that is why I never come out from this cursed country, that I go around here as a bad spirit which can never have peace. I go around here, looking for my sons, waiting to see if they still have a memory of their mother. God, I'm unhappy." She sat there, rocking the body, while big tears rolled down the wrinkled cheeks. I felt quite ashamed. Mother was right. I had hardly given her a thought over the centuries, as here in the spirit world had rolled over, and yet she had brought me into two terrestrial lives, helping me through the tottering infant stages. Was this ingratitude to blame me for her sufferings? Then I would have much to regret. I did not know what to say, but Thor came to my aid. "But now, you have found him, as you call Grain, or Ake. Ake, the man that I think you love most, because he had twice been your son?" "Mother," I cried, "you must know that I've been deep in the darkness. I wallowed in hate as I swimmed in my blood. Dash, I have not been worthy to meet you and I have not done anything to fint you. But now I want to repair what I have left behind. Now I will follow you and serve." She gave me a piercing look. "I think you are really honest, Grain, but now I want to put you on trial. It's something I must do, but I can't master it alone. Thora is willing, but have no strength, but you were always so strong, as you were tough and hard. Do you still have any of your strength? Your hardness seems to have melted. Maybe you're the man to help me. I want to do everything I can, I assured her. Well, do you remember your father, old elf? No, you were just a child when he died. I have seen him sitting down dead somewhere down below us in an icy world, which is even worse than here. He was like you and many of the elf's family, a hard, brutal man, who, when he died, had a lot on his conscience, and he never wanted to bow. Now he sits there, and have done for hundreds of years, because he has never since been on Earth, at physical level. We have been down there, Sora and I, to try to help him through. But he does not recognize us and do not care what we say. I do not even know if he heard us. It is as if he was deaf and blind. And we do not have the strength to rip the chains by which he is bound. But you must try to do it. If it is as you say, that you want to serve me. I love mother, I try, but if his chains is like my own, when I was tied down there in the darkness, then probably no one other than himself is to solve them. But you must follow and show me the way. I will follow you, but Thara do not need to go with us. She had so bad on our last trip down there. You must know that there are terrible cold, just ice and snow everywhere. I myself think it's terrible, but I have to. I cannot bring peace inside as that voice inside me are crying, go. Thara made objections, but mother was determined and so we went. On the way I told her about my past life on Earth and that it now become clear to me that this, last, man I killed, was my former brother Ulf. I know, she said, Thora found out some about him. But where is he now? I talked about my visit with him and about the beautiful banquet he arranged for me. Oh, he is fine, but his old mother he has not had time to think about, she added with a bitter smile. Poor father. He was in an ill predicament. He sat on a block of ice, at which he was tied with a strong rope. Around him were piled large masses of ice, which formed like ruins of a mighty fortress. There he sat alone, staring with dull eyes around. Now I had learned, it was his own hard, cold heart, that drew him to this place and his own imagination, which to some extent had created this environment, which probably also had an objective reality, because we could perceive it. But then I thought it was an unnaturally harsh penalty that had hit my father. There was something grand about him as he sat there, old and gray with bowed head and a bushy beard that reached far down the chest. He did not seem to observe us, but when I walked over and shouted in his ear, Ulf. So he awakened. What do you want? He said in angry tone. Do not disturb my dreams. It's your wife Sijin and your son Grain, who has come to greet you. Let me alone. I am okay. Are you not cold? Insert illustration of Grain. Og, his old mother travels down to a lower astral level where his old father was stuck in old hatred. Freezes? Dot. It was a strange question. Sure. I freeze, but it must be so. It belongs to the castle I built myself. But you are bound. Will you not be free? There was a time when I struggled in my bonds and cried out for freedom, but now I've learned that it must be so. I just want to be left alone. I want to try to help you, I said and took a firm hold of his chains, but they did not give way. I could do nothing. Do not do that, he said in angry tone, you shall not bother anything, where I am powerless. No, you're right, I said, there is probably no other than yourself who can solve your bands, but you can, if you really want. And if I do not want? You have to want, because you cannot be stuck here for eternity? My mother took him in hand. Ulf, she said, it is waiting you both warmth and freedom, only if you want to get out of here. You come nothing giving me, you who really is to blame why I'm sitting here. Do you remember? Quiet, cried mother and put her hand over his mouth, let us not to mention that. We must now try to get you from here. Have you now once brought me here, and I will also speak. I want him, my son, to know what kind of mother he had. Quiet, I ask you, she said with persuasive voice. But Ulf did not stop. Then hear, my son, when Mother Saijin was young and handsome, for she was fair once, as strange as it may sound, she was lured away to a powerful chieftain, who gave her expensive jewelry and sent her desecrated back to her father's house. The child she bore, she put in maple and let it perish miserably. Quiet, interrupted the mother. I entreat you. But Elf went on, I knew nothing about this, when I married Saijin, but later in a moment of despair, it came out of her own mouth. This bitterness. She had an unquenchable desire revenge on her seducer, and now she wanted me to. Quiet. For God's mercy. I should kill him. It was she, letting poison into my blood, and hard as I was, it fell on fertile ground. For many years I walked and brooded on revenge and years went by hardening my mind. Still Saijin nursed me, and finally, when the moment was propitious, I hit. No one guessed that it was me. There was sadness in many people's minds, but Saijin and I laughed. Ugh, what I'm freezing. He trembled all over and cringed of the pain. Saijin was absolutely crushed at his feet. Then we heard footsteps. I turned around and saw a figure, looking and dressed like an old Nordic chieftain. I thought I recognized the features, but did not remember where I had seen them. He smiled kindly at me and nodded, then I saw that it was Father Abord. But why had he put on this disguise? Elf raised his head and uttered a scream of horror. It's him. It's him. Go, go, I do not see you, you pale shade. Even Saijin had stood up, and cried in dismay, get thee hence Satan's delusion of you. It cannot be him. Who are you, who lent his form to scare us? Abulra bent down and took Saijin's hand. I am one who seeks forgiveness for a crime my once youthful frenzy committed against you. During the centuries of sometimes very painful memories, I have longed for this moment when I could throw myself at your feet and beg for forgiveness for the violation I added you. But still, I held back, not from any false modesty, but by your own senior leaders, which thou knowest not, but who is watching over your steps. He has always said, wait for that moment will come when I call you. Now he has called, I'm here now and begging for your forgiveness. He knelt down and stretched his arms towards her. She was deeply moved, could not utter a word. She just looked at him with big wondering eyes. Then followed a gripping scene, when Saijin in the deepest contrition expressed to all the gentler feelings she had been trapped into for centuries. Now broke the ropes in which she constricted her presence. Now got the hard ice-bounded treads free, and with a humility and tenderness, as one would have thought inconsistent with her character. She was entirely in the confession of her remorse over all the evil she in hardness had done. This took finally even old Elf. Then Saijin buried her head in his lap and asked him to forgive all her fault, then softened even his rigid features. He stroked her gently over the hair while the big tears rolled down his cheeks into his beard. Finally, he extended his hand toward Abord. Friend, he said, are you not angry with me? By no means. I only long to get you help. Now, I mean that you have been here long enough and am ready to follow us? Oh, would it be so well? But here I am bound and will never come from here before Ragnarok burst my fetters. But, if I am once again free, I will honestly give you all and serve you as a slave. You are free. Do you not see your fetters or chains have fallen from you? Don't you see now, how the ice, both outside and inside of you, begins to melt? Take my hand as we walk together from this frosty custody. Praise God who allowed me to experience this moment. The time had now come, that I would go into the matter again. I had begun to long for that, though I knew well that the new life I went to would lead to severe tests, but I realized on the other hand, that with the limited experiences I now had, could not rise higher in the spiritual sphere. I had to gather more material to build further this development I was to be cast into. Abulrad confirmed this idea and encouraged me to the important step I was going to receive. Saijin, who was now a thoroughly good and loving creature, and that included me with the greatest affection, wanted me to wait for some time, as she wanted to go before, is for possible, once again to be the mother, and bear me into earth life. But I felt that I could not wait any longer. the torpor which precedes the re-entry into the world of matter, had already begun to take me. I said goodbye to my friends and went so resolutely, but not without a secret awe into the new life that awaited me. Under what circumstances and where I would be born, I had no idea. 9. I rode far away in the world about my next earthly life. I can be brief. They wrote 1685, the year one was born. It was in a wretched little hut in the Varmland forest, in middle of Sweden, regions I first saw the light of day. My father was a poor farmer. My mother was good to me, it's almost the only thing I remember about her, but it is also the best memory. About my childhood and youth is not much to say. I grew up in the woods, became big and strong and learned early to take care of the horse and the axe, but it was also just about the only thing I could. Any book learning was never learned. After the adventures and wildlife I last had on Earth, this life with assiduous work in a secluded corner of the world was devoted to bring some peace of my soul. But little I understood of the meaning of life. At times I dreamed of adventures. I wanted to get a ride over mountains and hills far away in the world and accomplish something great, that father and mother and the priest would hear about and wonder. I felt the lust rise up within me. It had not yet been raging out, but it would soon get their fill. When I was 19, I was enlisted as soldier, and after a very incomplete education I was to accompany a cavalry regiment, which was sent to Poland. It was soon peace, but Karl XII went into a decisive battle against Tsar Peter, and in 1707 he put his big army in march towards the interior of Russia. My youth's dream to ride far away in the world had come true, but any great, had I not been involved into. During defeats and privations of all kinds we thronged, penetrated, eventually south to Turkey. What we suffered during the severe winter 1708, greater than all 9 on Ukrainian plains, I cannot describe. To freeze, starve and fight, it was what the school of life had to teach me. It may seem as if it had not been of any benefit of, to a nature, such as mine, but now I have learned to understand that it was precisely this hard school I needed to break down the hardness, which still lay on the bottom of my essence. The tough perseverance, the blind obedience and the warm devotion to our king, as this campaign nurtured, was precious acquisition of the mind, that never before in the earth's school, had learned to obey and never looked up to anyone, but myself. The God fear that characterized King Karl's daily life, also spread into his army. Field's priest read to us from the Bible, we sang hymns and took Lord's Supper on a couple of drums as altar. It was a very primitive worship, but not without significance. It had in any case the good effect, that it alleviated the roughness, as the war gladly generates. Even the many battles had for me the sense that I finally got a real distaste for the constant slaughter. But how little I understood then by all this. I rode as a man in the ranks, fought where others have to fight, suffered what others had to suffer, had no self-will, was but a number in line, just no one cared about, a cog in the vast machinery which King Karl handled by a master hand, but also with an extravagance that must pass before a fall. Then came the bloody Poltava battle. I was in the hottest battle. Our cavalry made a violent shock against the Russian lines, but was received with a lot of fire, which produced large gaps in our ranks. My horse fell and I also fell to the ground. I stood up again and fought on foot. Then I remember just a wild tumult of shots and screams and weapons clatter. A burning sensation in the chest and, so was all over. Inserted Poltava Battle, June 27, 1709, Art. A warm reception, but, was it really the end? When I woke up again at a somewhat vague consciousness, I found myself once again to be in the midst of battle. It was a horrible altercation but without weapons, hand in hair and care of the throat, friends and enemies of each other in a battle of despair. Screams and cries filled the air. I was kicked and pushed hither and thither, but took himself no part in the battle. I was so dizzy, so powerless. Felt so strange at ease, did not know where I was. The sky was blood red and the soil moist with blood. Eventually, the fighters around became as unreal. They melted down like shadows, and their shouts and lamentations died away as echo in the distance. I was left all alone. It burned like fire in my chest, but I was so tired that I fell on the ground and fell asleep. Then I reopened my eyes, stood a figure of light by my side. He got up its head and gave me something to drink. It was so nice and relieving the burning sensation in the chest. "Who are you?" I asked. "I am a Samaritan who had come to join you." "Am I the hurt?" "Not only hurt. You have fallen for a bullet in the chest, you are dead and has moved from the earth to the spirit world, but you need care, for even the body, you now carry, has attracted the influence of the fatal shot. Do you not feel a tingling sensation in your chest?" "Well, it burns like fire, but you gave me drink, that has alleviated the pain." "But, what do you say, I'm dead? It is not possible. I live after all, though I am so strangely tired in my head. I was of course also just in the midst of the battle, but now they have all fled. Tell me, do you know if the Russians were beaten?" "I do not know. I've just come to take care of the wounded." "And now you come to rest." Two men in white clothes came with a stretcher. They lifted me carefully up on it. With a sense of indescribable well-being I stretched out and fell asleep. Plus video inserted picture of similar situation from film Nasolar W. Here had you brought me? I sat up and rubbed my eyes. I was lying in a soft bed in a small beautiful room. The window was open and balmy wind stroked my forehead. After all that I suffered from the battle's hardships, this was like a loveliness. I lay down again and lay still as bound by a spell. I hardly dared to touch me for fear that everything would disappear. After a while, a curtain was pulled to the side and a friendly face looked peering into the room. "Oh, you're awake now, then I come in and welcome you." His voice was known to me and the face I also thought I had seen before, but now I could not find any memories. "Do you not recognize your sister Thora?" she said, stroking caressing my hair. "Oh, there you are. I thought, well, I recognized you. But tell me, where am I now, and how did I come here?" "You are now with old friends, Mother Saijin and me, and here you get rest after your short but stormy earthly life. We have followed you over all these years with the warmest participation, and when you died, we begged a Samaritan and a couple of carriers to bring you to us." "Yes, I remember, they put me on the stretcher, but then I might have fallen asleep. And I must have slept a long time, not true?" "Yes, but you also need to rest, so exhausted that who you were." We chatted for a while about our shared memories. Mother Saijin came in and offered me a refreshing drink. She expressed her joy at seeing me again. She had undergone a remarkable change since I saw her last. She, the old grayish old woman, had now become young and fair. The curved figure had become supple and straight. And out of those beautiful eyes shone a warmth that I had never seen before. And yet she is so similar, that I immediately recognized her. She understood the curiosity she read in my eyes, and made haste to help me. From page 62 in the book, "You think that I have changed, to my advantage, right? Well, who would have believed that you, old mother, could become so young again? Explain how it happened." "As you recall, it was a poignant moment, when we managed to release the old elf from the ice world he lived in, where he had been imprisoned so long. This was also my spirit's freedom, from the anguish, that I myself, through my stubbornness had sustained me in. And my mind brightened more and more in proportion as I opened it to higher influences. Finally, it was shortly after that you went down to earth, there came words that I would have to move to a higher sphere, where Tor already belonged to, and where we now was on. But then I went through a change, which was very wonderful. I was very exhausted and fell asleep there down and woke up here in a new rejuvenated form. There is something like a process, similar to the earthly death, although the difference in density between the body we put off and the body we obtain, is not that great. It is as if the outer, little rougher shape has melted away, and the inner thinner came forward. Yes, I cannot explain it better for you. You'll have yourself to some time, experiencing it. You may believe, said Thora. It was a joy. When I got to take Saijin with me up here, where my little home was waiting for her. And we now also have you with us, making our pleasure so much bigger. I also have greetings for you from old Dolph, which we still call him. He is now a diligent worker in the sphere we last left, and further from Eric and Injetor, who asked us to be welcome in their castle as soon as possible. We now live, as you can understand, in the same sphere. Then we a few days later, were sitting together in intimate conversations, our old friend Ulrich came to visit. He embraced me and congratulated me on a job well accomplished life on Earth. You have not been gone for more than 24 years, he said, but you have used the time wisely. It's been a hard school, but imagine what it has done you good. I do not understand, I said. When I now look back on my life, it has just been fighting and hardships. What have I then gained from it? You have won what you not otherwise could have won. You have tamed the old elf nature within you. There are still in your being a kind of ferocity which none up here conceived, though as honestly they were meant, are able to wipe out. It must be done on the plain, where the wildness has its playground and where it can be burnt out. That is why you were sent into the war, that gave you the opportunity to bind the rawness. But you resisted the temptation. You did your duty as a brave soldier, but you were never glad for the battle, as it was for you a disgust. Thus, the goal was won, and you had to go home again. Strange as it may sound, the war was for you a means of purification. It was also so in another respect. The sufferings and hardships that went with it, and you wore with resistant prostrate and submissiveness, have wiped out many of the bad actions you through past violence sullied yourself with. How the war is to be condemned, in itself, it must be like all evil in the world, in its consequences make or serve good. It is a scourge, which the people of their wickedness committed to themselves, but as they also need for their own discipline. When they no longer need it, it will be removed by itself. It is still one thing, I do not understand. The hard school I had to go through here in the spheres before my last earthly life had tamed my savagery, so that I at least believed myself quite complete in that respect. Why should the same lesson may be repeated on the physical plane? Because it's there, blindfolded and in forgetfulness of all the past. We must take the test. One learns a lesson up here, but must descend to Earth to read it or really learn it. Past this test, it has the good lesson rooted in his or her nature. But failing, and unfortunately it is often the case, you get rebuffed and forced to come back to new sufferings and new tests. Therefore, we not infrequently see that for life after life, the same individual is shaped so alike that it is hard to discern anything in the least of progress. Progress is sometimes infinitely slowly, but he who waits for us is not in a hurry, his patience is infinite, and his love is boundless. After I recorded my memories from my past wandering on the earth, and compared them with older notes from past lives, this draws the disappointing conclusion that Ulrich was right in terms of development, slowness. I was now to begin a more orderly operation. It was split between regular studies in my own sphere and assists in a lower. I had then often the opportunity to meet old Dolph, and we made a strong friendship. The whole time I lived, however, by Sijin and Thora, where I had the most pleasant home I could wish for. So went more than half a century after Earth's time measures. LL those levels exists in different material conditions, and this is now very difficult to understand for the thought-locked scientists on our Earth. Those are locked in the thought trap that only this reality exists, and that the life is a side effect of the matter. Surely will they laugh at this idea in the future, such as science now laugh at the medieval worldview? This illustration and all the others used here were not in the original book. See chapter 11. At last we met one time. A board suggested that I should cancel my somewhat monotonous work and take me recreation by undertaking a long journey in our sphere. I ought to, he thought, to travel a little about in the world I belong to. Maybe I could get into new interesting acquaintances, or revive old ones. He offered to come along, and so we went by. We travel in our world far easier than on Earth. Here is convenient means of transport, both electric vehicles and steerable airships, but you could also just by an act of will concentrate directly move at almost the speed of thought from one place to another. This costs some effort, but leads rapidly to the target. Of course you can also walk on foot and it does not mean the same effort as a walk on earth, when the walk here is much easier, lighter and faster than when you're carrying the physical body. We chose the later mode of travel, because we had a better opportunity to see us around. It would be a very difficult task to try to describe all the wonderful and interesting I during this trip was to experience.